Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to another experience of Me and Paranormal You with Ryan Singer. This is Ryan Singer. I'm excited today because we're going to have a conversation that is, I don't know if it's definitely not outside the bounds of what we discuss on the show, because we talk about all kinds of interesting, wild, crazy, esoteric, paranormal, mystical, supernatural stuff. But this is something that is so fascinating to me. And I think we're going to have a great chat. We've got Craig from Haunted Honey from the Bee Guys here with us. Craig, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So basically I'm just going to try to lay it out and you can pick me up where I'm maybe missing something. But what we got here, we got Haunted Honey, and this is honey that comes from the crypts or mausoleums where bees have decided to kind of set up residency. Right.
And yes.
So, which, you know, I had never known was a thing that happened, but I guess bees will go anywhere where they can find a place. And specifically down, you're in the south, you're in Louisiana.
Yeah, right around New Orleans.
So bees can't go underground really there, or, you know, so I guess it makes sense that they're finding these other places, right? And where they're setting up shop.
Yeah, well, down here, first off, a honeybee is looking for a small hole that leads to a big cap. Just like the house that me and you were living in, you walk through a door just enough for you to fit your shoulders through, and then you see your sofa, refrigerator, everything like that. So that's what they're looking for to live in. Small hole leads into a big cavity. Now, the one thing about honeybees is nobody told them that they can't do something. They don't have politicians with laws. So if they come across a tomb that's open a little bit, they don't have any remorse for that. They don't plan on that. So if it's your house, if it's a hole in an oak tree, they don't care. Over time, the old way of when they bury people, especially down here, is going to be bricking it up. They normally brick and mortar or some type of stone like that. And that's the old way when they put a casket in. The newer way is where they put plastic behind the casket door, most of it. And that's what they silicone it. With a very good adhesive. Sometimes it's not a very good job, or other times it gets very hot down here and that silicone will drip over time and it'll create little holes. These little bees will find those little holes. And like I said, they don't care that Uncle Bob is buried there. They're going to go inside of that hole if they see fit, and they'll build the largest nest I've taken out of a tomb, which regular mausoleums down here are 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet opening. So it was 2.5 feet wide by 2.5 feet tall, 8.5 feet long in length. It covered the entire casket.
Wow.
And, for viewers that might not know, like we said, we're down in New Orleans. Down here, we're so much below sea level that we don't bury most of our dead in the ground like they do in the rest of the country. We bury a lot above ground. So always kind of make fun of it. They always say, you know, you're no better than me. Our graves are going to be the same size. That's not true down here in New Orleans. some of us have, regular size graves. Others have graves as big as the house we live in, you know, and that's just the way it is. But like I said, bees don't care, and they will go into these graves just like it would be their own home. And they're nice and comfy inside of there.
That's really amazing. Like bees are the true libertarians.
Yes. There are zero laws.
There are zero laws. It's really fascinating that, I mean, I'm trying to imagine, you know, the first person who goes into a mausoleum and sees a casket covered in a honeybee hive. I mean, that's a visual image straight from a horror film. If you don't know that that's something that can happen, how long have you guys been doing it?
Well, I've been doing bees, honeybees and honeybee removal for around 20 years now. We've been doing grave removals for probably about 15 of those years or so, you know, give or take. But it's just like any other, you know, customer or job that we do with the removal. We don't, a misconception that we get a lot of times is we get a lot of naysayers that find out about this and say, oh, well, you're just a grave robber. No, that's not what we're doing, you know, but it, different people have different perspectives. But no, we don't go in there to take anything on purpose or misarrange anything. And we get called out by the cemeteries for them to go out there and take care of these bees. We just don't go, hey, I see a beehive. I'm going to go open up that tomb and we're going to go get it. That's not what we do. Just like I alluded to before, 8.5 feet long, the largest one that I've did, that doesn't get built over the weekend. That's there for years. So if they're good left alone, a lot of times these cemeteries will leave them there. But with every grave being in close proximity to each other, if they start causing a problem with the maintenance crew, if they start causing a problem for visitors and everybody's people getting stung, or a procession has to be had next to a grave that has bees in it, and they can't have a funeral without that the bees being gone, that's instances where we take them out. So it's selective. It's not just, hey, that we see a bee and we're going to go grab it from that tomb, you know, and it's always done with the utmost respect and dignity. You know, we only take the bees out, and that's, we're there to do a job, and that's it. You know, we try and leave it better than what we found it, just with less honey.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's so, it's so wild. I mean, I'm guessing it's kind of like a bee relocation program when you have,
yes,
like,
it
such
is
a big thing. And the, because I mean, at the end of the day too, I mean, who doesn't love honey? And in specifically local honey has so many health benefits for people who suffer from allergies and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's, you know, everybody, I think, is for the most part pretty aware of like the benefits of honey and how great it is. And, you know, and the bees are like the, you know, the canary in the coal mine. Everybody's talking, you know, like, we really got to, you know, you got to save the bees, because the bees, like, if the bees are all gone, and that's just the beginning of the end of everything. And so there is like a very, there's a lot loaded into bees, right?
Yes.
Especially in modern days, like what people think and our opinions of them and how they should be handled, et cetera, et cetera. It's not like you're just going there with like, you know, extermination spray and just like covering a casket with a bunch of poison and killing off bees, right?
Yes. We always say this, we're beekeepers, we're not exterminators. You know, and a lot of times exterminators don't take these jobs because we need our bees. They're not equipped to handle it, and they're not, a lot of them aren't knowledgeable enough to handle it in the first place. You know, it's a specialty. We deal with bees, wasps, things like that. Now, when it comes to roaches, ants, termites, I'm not the guy to talk to. You know, that's somebody else's specialty. So it really is a niche in itself, as to, you have to be trained, have the equipment to do it correctly, you know, and everything else. Because when you got to remember, when you're going into a beehive, whether it's in somebody's house or a tomb or so, things can go wrong. This isn't the NFL where you can call time out and say, you know what, hold on, let me think about what has to be done. Those bees, you're going to interrupt sometimes 30 to 60,000 bees in a hive.
Holy shit.
You're interrupting their home.
Yeah.
And they're going to start protecting their home. So think of it as like a home invasion for the most part. You know, if somebody comes into your house, you're not asking questions. You know, you're going to be on high alert and wanting to protect what's yours, because they're not supposed to be there. That's exactly what happens, except for it's not just one person. You got numerous bees doing that. So, like I said, in the springtime, a queen can lay up to 2,000 eggs a day. 1,500 to 2,000 eggs a day. In 21 days, those babies start hatching. So she laid 2,000 on Monday. Well, guess what? Next Tuesday, those bees are hatching again. Every day, you're having that that motor generate, that motor run. And wow. That's a lot of bees. It's a lot of insects. That's wanting to come and hurt you.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare. You know, when you go into a situation like that, ill-equipped or not knowing what you're doing, I mean, that's definitely not something that anyone should be doing. So you've been doing 15 years about when you did your first gravesite, if I remember correctly.
Yes. And
How long has Haunted Honey been a thing?
It's only been we marketed it 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. I did it on, you know, it wasn't meant to get, I want to say, I don't want to say it wasn't meant to get, but it was never thought of as being as big as what it is. This was something that's actually a product of coronavirus. And if you look at our label, it's got, it's not so subtle, but it, the skull has a mask on it, you know? So as redundant as that would be to have a skull on something that's dead, I mean, a mask on something that's dead, you know, but it, that's a product of the times of when it was born. You know, and I wanted that on there for that reason, because anybody right now, whether you're a kid or 50 years old, you're going to take a look at that symbol and you're going to go, why does it have a mask? Okay, I know. Everybody's going to remember. There's never going to be nobody that doesn't remember COVID for 2 years. Anyway, you know, we started off with 25 jars, bought them off of Amazon, and I marketed it on October 1st. And my hope was to get the Halloween crowd. That's what I was going for. Everybody goes for Halloween. They go hard for Halloween. And I thought, this is the people that would love something like this, not the Christian community that goes to church every Sunday kind of thing. That's probably not what they would be into. So I marketed on Halloween. We, on our Facebook page, we had about 1,500 followers. We're just a local New Orleans beekeeping company, so not something you would expect millions of people to see. Anyway, when we put it up on our Facebook page, within 7 days, I think it was 8 days if I'm remembering right, we had over 1 million views just on one particular post on Facebook. Everybody that saw it shared it, and it literally went worldwide overnight. And it's something I've never thought of, and I never think I'll ever experience again, you know. But the phone started lighting up. We didn't have, I mean, just a simple beekeeper here. I'm not a rocket scientist, you know, logistics or anything else. And what ended up happening was I had 25 jars and I had 400 calls and emails and texts and Facebook Messenger email mails coming in, and a lot of them were just double people saying, I want this, I want this, I want this. And 25 jars don't go too far.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, that you needed at least a couple zeros on those on that order.
Yeah, so we started with 25 jars. We started with a label that was printed off of my own printer in my office, and it wasn't nothing uber professional, and I knew that. And it was kind of that way by design, because I didn't want to put a lot of money behind it and say, oh, we sold 5 jars, and honey, who can we get rid of these jars to? You know, just the empty jars that I don't need, because it's not something practical we use. We put it in different jars, and I wanted a different jar than a regular honey jar to keep it separate, because we do sell regular honey out of our hives, and I don't want to mix something that comes out of our hives with the specialty product. So it's jarred differently. So anyway, needless to say, those 25 jars were gone almost instantly. And that's when we said, okay, Amazon, step up to the plate. I need 2-day service. I need jars, and I need them 5 hours ago. And it took us 3 or 4 days to get it in. But during that 3 or 4 day time period, the motor kept running. The orders kept coming in, and we didn't have an ordering system. I had, like I said, I had text messages, I had phone calls, emails, and I had to remember these people's names. So I said, I had to sit down and make a spreadsheet on Excel, and 30 something people per page. And I went back and I messaged everybody one long message saying, look, this is brand new. I'm sorry, we're not getting back to you. This is how we're going to order. We're going to streamline it through Facebook Messenger, through the business. So if you want an order, here's our products. Message us this, your name, shipping address, what you want. I'll message you back a price for what it is off of our price list. And then we'll go from there. We'll ship it out to you. You know, PayPal, Cash App. I've never dealt with either one of those until we started this. Heard of it, never dealt with it. I'm a creature of habit. I deal with cash a lot. I barely use a debit card. Like I said, I'm a dinosaur. So all of this was new to me, being at the core of it, and everything was off and running, and I was the one that was left behind. So we had to start getting orders in, orders out, labels created, and better labels created, and jars started breaking here, there. We had to, you know, do different things with logistics in order to get them out. And we work quite a bit already, because with the bee removals, we do them during the nighttime. So if you would have an issue with bees, we would come out to your house during the day, assess it, and then we would come back and put our hands on it at nighttime when all the bees are back home. That's already a long enough job in itself. That's 16-hour days sometimes, especially during summertime, sometimes 18, 20-hour days, if you can believe it. So where's the time in order to write all of these messages down and everything else, and put the product together, put the product in a bag, and send it off to the post office? You know, I didn't know anything about sending things through the post office as far as multi packages. It's embarrassing now, but the first time I went to the post office, I went with a duffel bag over my shoulder, and I probably had 30 bubble mailers in there, and I had to stand there and give the woman bubble mailers, you know, weigh this, and okay, this is this, and I paid for it at the end of it. It was probably $250 just to send them all out, you know. That's when we had to go to what we use, a platform called Shipping Easy now, do it from the office and everything, but that was all foreign. That's not something that we just said, okay, this is a problem, here's the solution, and we're done. This all had to be learned. So every order that came in had to be physically taken off of my phone or my email address, whatever it is, and then written down by in hand and then put into the computer. You know, so obviously ever since then we've streamlined it. Now we've already had, we had a website already, but now we've integrated it into our website. So all you got to do is go on our website and all of that's kind of done now. We ship out the packages, but it was a learning on the go process. It was trial by fire. And it was crazy for some months, because October hit, and that was when we did it. That was the million views. But then after that, we started having Christmas and things like that. So everybody wanted it for Christmas gifts. And so it really continued till about the first of the year. And I wasn't sure when it was ever going to stop. You know, it did die down a little bit, you know, but it was a crazy time of life in order to have that. That's not something that, you know, you would expect to have in our line of business, to grow that quickly with just something that just honestly went viral, you know. So I personally know what that means now, you know, as far as having to live it, you know, somebody wanting something from you that you just can't provide on the spot just because everything hits you literally overnight. You know, never thought it was going to be that way, but it is. And a lot of our clientele are, you know, of the spiritual realm and everything, which is something I learned a lot about since I'm dealing with that type of clientele. Honestly, I was born in a Catholic family. I consider myself a Christian, you know, but I'm not a fanatic about anything. Everybody's got their own thing. And I respect everybody's, you know, belief system and everything else. I try and learn about them, too. And with that, that's where all of my knowledge came from about this. But I started talking to people that were telling me, oh, I'm a witch. I'm this. I'm you know, I cast spells. And this is this almost had me looking at my Bible going, wait, where did Jesus say this at? You know, so but like I said, it was more funny than realistic to me. But we have a lot of people from, you know, pagan and things like that. Witches, they do all kind of things with it. We sell down here in New Orleans to a shop called Hex and Omen. It's run by Christian Day and Brian Kane. They are very big into the spiritual world, and all the history, the, you know, spiritual history that we have down here in New Orleans, it really fits right in. But our phone would not stop ringing. It was ridiculous. Once you get off one call, the phone was already ringing two other times, and you had to call all of these people back. Some of them didn't leave messages, and everybody was calling about haunted honey. It was rare in comparison as to somebody saying, hey, I've got bees coming into my living room. Can you come help? Because that happens a lot, but not in October. But everything was nothing but haunted honey. It was haunted honey world. I was just living in. Wow. It was literally catching fire, you know. But And I was actually talking with my father one day. We were working on a job. He puts up fences, and that's what I was born into. Instead of beekeeping, we put up fences. And I was working with him on a job, helping out. And he said, "Man, is your phone ever going to stop ringing?" And this is only probably about 2 to 3 weeks into it. And I caught myself after I said it. I said, "I'm not sure, because you know what? You can't get this anywhere else in the world. I'm the only person that has it." And I thought about that after it left my mouth, and I said, "You know what? I'm right. There is no, I don't care where else you go. If you go North Louisiana or Texas, if they have mausoleums, above ground tombs, it doesn't come from the haunted cemeteries of New Orleans. You know, that's the flair of it. That's the location logistics of it, of where it comes from." And through talking through a lot of different people, I'm sure I'll be criticized on what I'm saying here because it might not be correct, I guess, but from other people's mouths of the spiritual realm, they say, well, it's naturally given, it's freely given, it's between life and death, you know, so it's got so many things, like magical powers working for it. And you know, I've had voodoo priests, one in particular. I'm not gonna mention his name, but I don't remember his name. But he told me, he said, you know, he said, I'm a commissioned voodoo practitioner. My son's commissioned and all that. We do a lot of root work and things like that. And he said, I want it because I want to feed my dead. And that's when I had to stop and say, did I hear you right? Feed your dead. He said, yes. He said, I'm going to put this on my altar for something. And that's where you feed the ancestors in the afterlife or something along those lines. And again, I'm sorry if I'm getting it a little bit mixed up, but I'm pretty sure I've got it about right. But that's what his particular take on it was. So a lot of things, since I'm not me personally haven't been into this practice, religious practice and everything else, spiritual practice for all of my life, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, I like to try and take a little bit from here and there from what people say and try and integrate it and kind of put together the picture of what I believe everything is. You know, we've done a couple functions. One was actually at something called Hex Fest, which is thrown by the owners of Hex and Omen. It's like a festival that they have in New Orleans every year. And I met one of the presenters there, and he was telling me some fascinating things about, he's a follower of Hermes. And I can't remember his name right now. I got it written down. But anyway, he was telling me fascinating things about bee maidens, and he went on for 30, 45 minutes just talking to me as a vendor, you know, about this belief and how bees and everything else affects everything from Zeus to the afterlife and, you know, all things of that realm. So it's always a learning experience as far as I'm concerned with it, you know, and
Yeah,
it,
for sure. I mean,
always
it's,
finding out something.
yeah. And what's really fascinating too is, you know, bees. I mean, there's a lot of mythology around bees too. And like
Yes.
you're touching on it. And like you said, I think you're 100% accurate. New Orleans has something. And anybody in the paranormal world, and a lot of people listen to this show are interested in, you know, ghosts, aliens, esoteric, you know, Freemasonry, all kinds of stuff, right? And there's something about New Orleans that everybody understands is there's real magic down in that town. And that city is known as, you know, if not the most haunted city in the country, you know, one of the most haunted, you know, mystical paranormal cities in the world. And you're right. You're the only one who has haunted honey from New Orleans. And I can only imagine what it's like to be like, oh, I'm just gonna you know, I'm gonna sell this 25 jars of this, and then overnight you have a full-blown successful business that has so many demands,
Yes.
and it's got to be overwhelming. I mean, because you know, I ship out all of my stuff for the most part. Like if I have leftover t-shirts from when I'm doing like stand-up shows around the country or on tour or whatever. And if I have 10 orders of a t-shirt come in, if I post something on Instagram, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta get on this, because I have to like
Yeah.
mail it all out, print it all out, I have to take it to the post office, pack it all up. And then I couldn't imagine immediately having to integrate that into like, okay, this is a full-blown business that sustains itself now, like even more so than as a separate, completely separate entity than what I do. And which is, I do want to, let's take a, I got a ton of questions, but real quick, let's take a quick pause for some commercials. And just as a reminder to the listeners, you can go to patreon.com/Ryan Singer. You can get all these interviews without and all these episodes without commercials for $3 a month. That's it. Less than a Starbucks iced coffee. No commercials. So let's do that. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're back. I'm chatting here with Craig from Haunted Honey and Bee Guys, and we're talking about having the only product in the world that's very specific. And I'm sure, I mean, it's been 2 years, you know, I'm sure you've been knocked off by now, right?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
No. There's nobody that can't, you know, legitimately, there's nobody that can't. You know, it's
I mean, there's not people even trying to like position themselves as selling Haunted Honey, you know, in a way that kind of like edges in on you.
No, not at all. Because
that's awesome.
I don't want to say I can't call myself a mastermind for it or anything else. It's not me. It's the product. It sells itself because of the amount of uniqueness that it brings. There is nothing else like it. You know, if you, the way I like to tell it to people is if you walk into a magic store or something, you're going to find crystals, you're going to find little cards, you know, you're going to find things that are unique. You might find, little geode crystals or for the most part, you can find those at other places. I'll see that in another store that I walk in, whether it's made by nature or not. Now, where it comes from, I'm not sure. There's nobody that can have exactly what we have down here from New Orleans. You know, I'll go get honey out of my hives. That's not haunted honey. That doesn't have that flair. You know, it's anybody that gets it from Texas or so, where I've heard they got some above ground tombs over there. That is not, you know, from New Orleans. That is not from the cities of the dead that, you know, we have haunted tours, cemetery tours that go down here daily. You know, so it's a big business. It's a well-known thing that, you know, it's not just saying, oh, well, it's haunted. Yeah, well, no, it's from X amount of places. No, it's from inside of a tomb where the first thing is nobody believes me in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I've had several people that say, oh, I can have haunted honey too. All I got to do is go buy it from Sam's. Yeah, well, we can shut them up with a few pictures. Yeah, because that with the whole population, if you call it Democrat or Republican, everybody has a different belief and a different thought pattern. So I understand where the thought comes from, but we have everything to show for it as to where it comes from, you know. And there's not many beekeepers. There's not many people that's willing to take the stings in order to go get a beehive out of our house. Much less, like I told you, we do this at nighttime, be the only living thing in the cemetery in the middle of the night, you know, with no lights or anything else. And it's just you and bees and in the complete darkness. So I don't know if you ever walk through a cemetery at night, but I tell you what, it's quiet.
Yeah. I mean, throwing on the added layer of all the bees and thousands of bees. Now you're doing a home invasion. It's terrifying to me. And I do wonder about, like, you know, obviously, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like there would be a limited amount of like graves and mausoleums that are actually occupied, right? I mean, unless it's like a thing that is just really common everywhere in these cemeteries. Like, you have a limited supply to a certain degree, to where it's not like you're running like Amazon notebooks or something, right? And like, yeah, there's never any supply. Exactly.
Yeah. No. The only reason that we have the supply that we do, and that we were able to withstand the onslaught of demand immediately when we put our product out, is the years that we did this. Honey never goes bad. Real honey never goes bad. It's the purest food known to man. So we don't have apples or oranges. That's going to expire in a week or two or go soft. This honey, some of it's been taken out 10 years ago, and it's from different tombs, and we put it all together because we used to sell to two specific restaurants. And when we sold to those restaurants, ethically, we wouldn't have put this together. Honey is honey. You know, there's nothing going to be wrong with it, but we didn't want to put something into a jar of somebody that's unsuspecting, not knowing where this comes from, and say, oh yeah, we got this out of our hives. And then, well, it comes back that it's got something from a grave inside of it that can't be explained. How do I answer for that as to how did that get inside of my honey? That's an ethical thing. We don't sell it. You know, you're not supposed to sell honey that comes out of removals type of things, comes out of your house with insulation or sheetrock or things like that. We give a lot of that back to the bees and put it back into nature, or if the customer wants it, that's fine. But as far as the haunted honey, it just kept mounting up and mounting up and mounting up and taking up space. And never did I think that it would blow into something like this, but you know, it's just the way that it happened. You know, it was a savings account that wasn't even really a savings account. It was just a food bank. That's what it was. And when it was time to say, you know what, here it is, and the world wanted it, and they really got a lot of it, you know. But yes, we are on a pitch count, if you will, because we don't do 500 a year or anything else like that, you know. We're so the honey that we get out now is precious, and it goes into our, I guess you say, bank account of honey, of haunted honey. So that's why we were able to withstand the demand. That's, you know, so we yeah, can't make any more of it. And there's something else that's a new flair that we have too, that I can make more of. And it's something that just happened last year per this year. Last year, and I don't know if you know too much about voodoo, but do you know who the queen of voodoo is?
It's not
Marie Laveau.
Okay, Marie Laveau.
Yeah, Marie Laveau. She's buried down here in New Orleans, and we were going through a cemetery one day, and they had a ball of bees that was right on the front of her tomb by the ground. They did not go inside of the tomb. We took, it was a swarm of bees, which is a queen with a whole bunch of workers in transport, either getting to a home or looking for a home, resting. We put those bees inside of a box, and we keep those bees in our yard. And that is what we call our Marie Laveau line of honey. Oh, that wow. Actually come, that the bees came from the front of her tomb. You know, so that's epic.
That's it. That is really epic. And I mean, you touched on it, how honey is like the purest form of food. And you know, I'm curious too, like part of me wonders, have you like the craziest like review or customer response you've gotten, like, you know what, I got this haunted honey from you, and then next, you know, all this shit starts going crazy at my house as soon as the honey shows up. Like, have you had any kind of response like that? I'm just curious if anybody's responded to you and with like paranormal attachments to the honey.
Some people, I want to say have, you know, but not nothing like that. But I would joke with people. I was like, you know, there's a poltergeist in every bottle, you know, type of thing, you know. But I haven't heard of things like that, but I have had people come back and tell me magical things that they've done, you know, spiritual things that they've done that this they believed helped them with it. You know, they feel that there's a power to it. And, you know, like I said, not out of my mouth. It's just from what I've heard. But it doesn't go any further than that. I've heard people tell me that they've got a feeling about it, you know, around it. I had a gentleman do a podcast on it on YouTube 2 years ago. And I sent him a bottle, and he did probably a 30-minute review on it. And he tasted it, you know, on the video. And he said, man, I just feel funny. He said, I just feel, just to know where this comes from. And he described the flavor of it and everything else. And he was kind of tripped out by it. because it's got something to it. It does have that much of a story behind it. It's not something you're going to find anywhere else, you know. So when you think about what you're doing and where it comes from, I can see where it gives you that that sensation. But we've had nothing but good responses from it. You know, nobody's ever gotten sick of it. We sell it as a non-edible product. We sell it as a novelty only. However, that's just strictly for legal purposes, you know, to where honey's a food that's ready to be eaten. So if somebody eats it and gets sick, we don't have complete control over where the honey comes from. We have no control over the bees, where they go, or anything else like that. So since that's not in our control, we're better selling it as a novelty, saying don't eat it. However, as far as everything else goes, people buy this with the sole intention of eating it. I eat it, my friends eat it, my kids eat it. It's pure food. There's nothing that's going to be wrong with honey. If there's something wrong with any honey or anything else, the bees are not going to put it in their own food. So they're going to keep it clean. You know, so there's nothing going to be in, no parasite or pathogen that's not designed to be in honey is ever going to be in honey. And it's concealed in a wax. So the honey, for people that don't know, is pretty much in a cup that's concealed. Once it's 100% made, they cover it with a thin sheet of wax. So the honey isn't even exposed until somebody like me comes along and cuts it out, or the bees open it up themselves to eat it. So if you ever really take a good look at a honeycomb, it's going to be most likely like a white sheen on the top of it. And that's just a layer of wax keeping the honey concealed in the cells. Yeah. So there's nothing going to be in it, you know, at all. And it's just great engineering what the bees do. And I trust the bees more than I trust most humans. They know what they're doing. And, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. You know, it's never hurt anybody that I know of. But as far as eating it or so, we sell that as a novelty only. But the Marie Laveau line, we do have control over that hive. That is, you know, like I said, that's something that we put in a beehive ourselves, and we're taking care of it. So we know what's coming and going from there. But that's the bees that came from her grave, you know, and that's so.
Yeah. And I want to touch a little bit on, you know, we're talking about the meaning too, and, you know, the intent or the story that goes behind something. And I don't think we can dismiss the power of such things, because, I mean, even if you're watching, and you said pitch count earlier, which I really appreciate, because it's the winter meetings in baseball right now for any of my baseball nerds out there. And it's been bonkers the last few days with some of these contracts that are being handed out, but that's neither here nor there. But when you're watching a sporting event, oftentimes what makes the sporting event so much more enjoyable and meaningful to the viewer is when they'll do a piece or a side story on one of the players and what the player has overcome in their own personal life, whether it's a tragedy or circumstances that they triumphed over to be where they are today, performing at a high level. And these stories make watching the game that they are participating in just more rich, right?
Yeah,
and more meaningful. And I think that's with anything. Like if I'm listening to an album, like there's a Mars Volta album that was recorded in a haunted recording studio, and then the recording disappeared, and then they had to re-record it. Like that album has extra meaning because of the story behind it. So when it comes to the honey, that also has this story behind it, it does give it more juice, more power, more meaningfulness. And a lot of people who listen to this show are into magical practices, and, you know, whether people want to call it paganism, you know, Wiccan, the occult, whatever, or just esoteric stuff. And this sounds like a great thing, because it's all about intent, and it's all about, you know, feelings and the energy. And like that, you said, that guy, when he was making the video, he's like, oh, I just feel weird.
Yeah.
And if we don't have our feelings, what do we have? You know, I mean, what separates us from just a robot that's walking around? If we're not valuing these emotions and feelings that we have as these conscious creatures, that is really cool that it has turned into this or opened up this whole different world of, you know, whether it's, you know, people want to call it witchcraft or just the holistic, the natural remedies of the world, which had been kind of pushed to the side. And I think COVID really started making certain people, when they were like stuck at home, realize they wanted to get back to more kind of an earth-based, an earthly, a natural connection to things around them. And I think the timing of this is just so on point. It's like a perfect storm of all these great things. And the simplest ideas are the most genius, by the way. I mean, we hear that said a lot. And like, this is like such a just haunted honey. Boom. I mean, it's just brilliant. And the fact that it also has all these benefits for people that they can bring to the table themselves through intent is amazing to me. Do yeah. you find yourself ever, I don't know what the right way to ask this is. Have you had any like experiences throughout your childhood? Because I was raised Catholic as well. And it's a very mystical religion, right? With a bunch of miracles and a bunch of supernatural yes. stuff happening. Have you had a part of your life, like whether it was growing up as a kid or when you were a little bit older, or maybe more so now after the haunted honey thing exploded, has that been a part of your life, or was it something you never really thought about?
What portion? I'm
like, have you had any experiences of the supernatural, of the paranormal, of just, you know, or like synchronicities or coincidences that keep happening, like that you can remember as a childhood?
From yeah, your childhood? Not so far as childhood, I guess you'd say, but, you know, I do have a few true ghost stories, I guess you say, from removals, you know, so it's kind of it's just an experience. And it's one of those things that, you know, I don't know if you want to believe in ghosts or not. And I don't say if I do or don't, but I know something different happened, you know, and it's,
I'd love to hear about this.
Well, I'll give you one story, one particular one. Like I said, we do the removals at nighttime and there's no electricity. You can't just plug into Aunt Mary's grave, you know, and get some electricity in a graveyard. It's just strictly above ground tombs. And down here in New Orleans, like, everything's above ground. You have very, very little of them are in ground. So they call it the cities of the dead. So when you're in a graveyard around here, there's rows of buildings, just rows of mausoleums and standalone tombs. So it's like a city. You're in your own little city of graves. And anyway, I had this one removal that we had to do. I was by myself for it. And I tried to get to it a little early because I couldn't remember what street it was on. We have street names in our cemeteries. They're huge. So I couldn't remember what street it was on, but I knew it by the look and I knew the name of it. So I got there a little early, went to go look, and I found it a little late, found it right after dark. So I had to fire up the generator in the back of the truck in order to get the electricity from my light, my vacuum and different things like that. I was probably there for 3 hours, I guess you say. But I went to the grave. I put everything in front of it. And you got to remember, everything's pitch black around you. And I have one light that I'm dealing with. It's a 100-watt light bulb and a treble light, you know, like a mechanic's light that's shining on me to where I can manipulate where the bees go and what they're doing, because bees are manipulated by light. So you don't want a whole bunch of daylight around you or a lot of lights, because they'll go to those lights and it'll make it harder. Anyway, I opened up the tomb and found right where the bees were, started my work with my vacuum and everything, and started getting all the bees off. Probably about 45 minutes in, I said, I need another tool. This particular nest went back about 6 feet deep, and it was probably about 2.5 feet wide inside of a standalone tomb. And I went back to my truck that was parked strategically, probably about 50, 60 feet away from me, to try and keep the generator out of my ears, because it's just, you know, very loud. And walking back to the truck, it was a very calm night. There was no wind. It was 70 degrees, something like that. And it was very, very calm, very still. And it was just me in the graveyard. And I went back to my truck, and I passed in front of just one particular grave, and I didn't notice it at that point, but I felt a breeze come across the back right hand side of my neck. And as a matter of fact, it's making my hair stand up right now in the back of my neck because I can remember it like it was yesterday. And it was just a light little breeze that swirled around the back right side of my neck. And I had that feeling of if you've ever really truly had that feeling of look behind you, somebody's behind you. That's kind of what it was, and it made me look. And even though I'm a sane person and looking behind myself, and I know I'm the only thing that's there, you know, there if somebody's walking up on me, that's a problem. You know, but anyway, obviously there was nobody there. There was nothing there. But that little gust of wind really kind of got to me. Anyway, I shook it off. I said, my head's playing tricks on me. So I went to go get my tool, went back. And about another 10 minutes in, I needed something else. I walked back to my truck, and that same little gust of wind hit the back right-hand side of my neck again. It was like a breath. It was very, very light. And I don't know how to explain it. I looked at the little trees, and they were still. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing I could attribute it to. And I had that feeling again, you know, of look behind you know, and nothing was there. But those two particular times right there, I ended up having to go back and finish the job. And it was just kind of an experience because I've never had that before. You know, you might if you do have some type of paranoia or something like that, I can understand how you might have a feeling or something, but I don't have anything, you know, that would make me have that feeling. And it was in front of this one particular grave that was two down from where I was working at on my walk to my truck. And I only noticed it after I was finished, and it was the second time. You know, so that's one of them. And another quick one was we have a lot of bayous down here in and around South Louisiana. We're nothing but water. So anyway, I was doing a removal at another cemetery, smaller cemetery, but it was at the end of a road. It's like the end of the earth. Like you don't go down here unless you belong. You can't get lost and find this place. You have to have a reason to go down this road because only set, just a few people live down it, and it happened to be where a cemetery's at. There's not too many cars going and coming from a cemetery at 10, 11 o'clock at night. I was doing a removal with my light and everything. My generator, I'm sorry, my generator wasn't running for this. I had a light pole I could plug into. And I had two of them that I had to do. One was ended up being 8.5 feet long, and the other one was 8 feet long. They were probably five mausoleum tombs away from each other. Going into the cemetery, it was a rock road. And I had my truck parked. I'm working, and I can hear the rocks. I can hear a car coming on the rocks. I don't see any headlights yet. And I said, wow, who's coming down this cemetery at night like this? I said, there's not supposed to be anybody that should be coming down here. So it really kind of put me on alert. And I see a car pull up kind of close to my truck, and out pop these four kids. You know, I say kids, they had to be 18, 20 years old or so. And they kind of talk and carry on a little bit. And I'm looking at them, and I said, you know what? They kind of saw me. And I just wanted to ask them, I said, man, what y'all doing out here? They said, we're coming, we're ghost hunting. Oh, okay. I said, so wow, how do you know I'm not a ghost? You know, I said, y'all not doing too good of a job. If yeah, you know what I mean? I said, did y'all actually expect to see somebody here? You know. So I said, no, nobody asked me if I'm a ghost. I said that y'all a little bit worse than the Scooby-Doo crew, you know. But
I hope they laughed when you said
I thought
that.
that was I thought that was hilarious because they almost acted like they oh no big deal he's there you know
Wow,
it's only me in a graveyard me in a white bee suit you know in a
yeah,
veil.
just like who's expecting to see such a thing?
It was like they were unfazed by it you know so not a ghost story but they were walking around with little flashlights and hollering some words or so and then they were trying to be quiet at times because like I said, the graveyard wasn't that large, so they were kind of in close proximity to me, where I can kind of see where they were. But I was more worried about, you know, somebody else trying to come back there for me for whatever reason, you know, like a safety issue. There shouldn't be nobody there, you know, for whatever you're doing. But they were legitimate about what they were doing. I don't know if they found that, but I said, man, y'all really failed when y'all didn't ask me if I was a ghost. I said, I'm even wearing a white, almost a white sheet, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you look like one of if I saw someone in a full bee outfit, like a beekeeper outfit, is that what it's called? Like a bee suit?
Yeah. It's called a bee suit. Yes.
A bee suit. I would just be like, wait, what is happening right now? That's really funny. Cause nobody's in cemeteries at night. Unless you're, you know, not to sound like an old guy, but like, unless you're up to no good, you're trying to drink some beers, you snuck out of the house, you're a kid or whatever. At least that's how it was in Southern Ohio where I grew up. But yeah, I don't know what I would do. It would take me a few minutes to be able to process. If I saw someone in a bee suit at a cemetery, I would be baffled by it. But then, I mean, obviously, you know, be able to put it together a little bit after having this conversation. It wouldn't be the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life, but up here in Ohio, you know, there are mausoleums, but it's not like you said, it's not like the cities of the dead down there.
It's countless. And when you're driving along I-10, we've got a lot of cemeteries along right by the Superdome for the most part, as you're getting into the heart of New Orleans. And as you look out, it's like, we live around it. So to me, it's not that awe inspiring, I guess you say, because I've been born and raised down here. So it's everyday living, but it really is a sight. You can just see the mass amount of graves, and just to know that if anything else, all of those people have already existed before you. And how much of a fraction that is, you know, but you can, it's not a gravestone where you can just see, you know, a big, large field and try and guess how many people are there, but you can see these over like a mile long cemetery as you're driving along and you can't see through the end of it, you know? So it's like all of that. That's just, the architecture of some of those tombs down there, especially, you know, closer to New Orleans, the more high dollar tombs of people that had more money to build that have bigger tombs than just 6 by 6, 6 by 6 or something to put a coffin in. You know, we've got some down here that are probably 30 feet tall or so, big mounds of dirt, you know, they got elks and deer on top of it. You know, we've got a very large one that you see at the foot of Canal Street. It's got I believe it's a firefighter in like a house on the top of it. I mean, they are huge. They're not, it's not something that people see every day that you don't see around here. You know, like to me, I guess the equivalent for me would be seeing a mountain. Everybody's gonna go, oh yeah, a mountain, what's so good about that? Well, the largest mountain I've seen, you know, is probably 20 feet tall. That's about it. That's a mountain to me, and that's nothing. That's a hill, if that. So
that's a slight slope.
I've never seen a mountain range, so that would be fascinating to me to see, because I'm not well traveled. I've never been up north ever any mountain ranges. So down here, like I said, it's normal life. And you know, Bourbon Street living where we have down here, the craziness that goes on down there, that's also normal life to us too. You know, so I saw somebody walking down Bourbon Street years ago. He was a guy, and he wasn't the smallest guy in the world. He was dressed like Catwoman and a tail and everything. And you know what? That's just something us New Orleanians just look at and go, Tuesday.
It's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
That's you know, funny. I wonder what, you know, I'm starting to think that, you know, the correlation here, if any, and I could be creating this, but because most places where you go, I mean, and just as a culture, we hide our dead, right? We don't want to talk about death. We don't want to confront it, especially our own mortality. But in a city like New Orleans, due to the geography, you can't hide. We cannot hide our dead down there. And it's part of our everyday life. And death is a very real thing that has a physical representation all around us in a very big way, as opposed to, like you said, just like little tombstones where you kind of got to guess.
Yeah.
And I wonder if having that is just such an accepted part of life, being death, that it also leads to like living life a little bit higher volume. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
like, because we're aware in a situation where we're, you know, we see the representations of death everywhere we go, that like, oh, we need to make the most of this life. And some people choose to do it through tiny cat suits on a Tuesday.
Oh no, we've got some characters down here in New Orleans, but it's a melting pot of people down here. You know, everybody that comes down here, generally they love it, because everything, it's family for the most part. Everybody down here is, it's the Southern hospitality, you know. So I've been around here enough to know that's normal life to us. But it's to tourists, when you talk to them, they can't stop talking about the things that they've seen, that it's just something that you're not used to. Something to me, I've a dry county. I've heard of a lot of those. You know what? When somebody told me it's a dry county, I said, well, y'all don't get too much rain.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean by that? I said, oh no, you can't buy alcohol after 8 o'clock or on a week, whatever it is. And I said, I'll go to a gas station at 2 a.m. in the morning and I'll get plastered if I want to at a gas station while I'm filling up my truck.
Yeah.
You know, that it's just something different. You know, I'm not aware of how it is other places, but down here, that's how it is. Whatever, anywhere you want to go, you got alcohol. You've got, you know, anything.
You get a drive-through margarita down there. And it's
whatever,
like,
whatever you want, wild, for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they tell you don't drink and drive, but here's the drive-through to go through.
Yeah, right. That's that. Like when I first realized that, I mean, because I love that area. I love New Orleans. And anybody listening who has not visited yet, I mean, it's got to be up on your top five of your list of destinations to go see. And if you can make it there, I'm curious, does Haunted Honey, like, do you have a storefront for this stuff or is it all online?
No, everything's online. Like I said, we're not a huge corporation or anything else like that. We work out of our homes, just an office type of thing. You know, we don't have a storefront, brick and mortar stores. We do get asked that a lot. We do everything by shipping. You know, if somebody's local, we can try and, you know, meet up with you or so. Because like I said, this isn't the Haunted Honey, even though it is very successful. That's not what our business was built around. You know, we're beekeepers, and bee removal is what pays our bills. That's the big thing. Honey is a byproduct. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have, you know, and I love doing it, but that's not what pays, you know, for life type of thing. That's a residual. The Haunted Honey, as you know, other than that, that helps out as well, but that's the what keeps everything going. That's a specific time of year, pretty much seasonal, until we get more recognition. And it's hard to get. That's why I love doing podcasts with people like you that know what audiences would like with this, because it's very hard to hit the audience demographic, because this isn't a product that everybody would be into. You know, this isn't a snowball or an ice cream or something like that, even a book, you know, so you have to find out where your target audience is. And the target audience for this has kind of been dumbed down a little bit. You know, with the we advertise on Facebook. That was our general advertisement. We put a lot of money behind it, just with sponsored content, and to try and hit certain demographics. And as far as Facebook's concerned, it's kind of changed. You know, you can't hit the keywords that you want. You know, we used to put it under witchery, Halloween, different things like that, paganism, you know, Wiccan, occult, different keywords to get this out to people that would be interested in these specific things, just like anything else. However, it, like I said, it's dumbed it down. You can't really reach out to those type of people because it's I think Facebook's kind of labeled them as taboo a little bit, you know, don't want to deal with it, or that's not their value type of thing. So it makes it harder to get the product out to people that would actually, you know, appreciate it and want to use it. You know, my wife likes to tell me sometimes, she's like, oh, well, we can bring it to the farmer's market, you know, or so. That's not what those specific people would be looking for there. Honey, yes. The Haunted Honey, not so much. You know, it's with its uniqueness, it brings its own unique crowd that would want that specific product as specialty as it is. So that's the more people that know about it, That's what's going to make it start kind of catching on even more, and we can get it out to more people, you know, and they can get to experience it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really, really cool, really fascinating. What a great idea, and what a great way to just, I mean, you know, sometimes my friends will say to me, like, keep it simple, stupid. And it's like, haunted, honey, boom, it's perfect. And it cuts right to the heart of it. And I think anybody listening to this this would definitely be in their wheelhouse. And as like a magical aid and a magical tool, and, you know, and manifest, you hear, like, it's not called witchcraft and it's not called the occult, but whenever people are talking about, like, oh, we, you know, we're trying to manifest something here, you know,
yeah,
trying to, like, you know, visualize greatness or a vision board or things like that, all of that comes from this. It comes from magic, essentially, and that it has its roots thousands and thousands of years ago in all this intention-based stuff. And this sounds like the perfect tool to really supercharge that for people. So let's remind people, or tell people, like, specifically the website where people can actually get their hands on it, a jar of this.
Our website is www.beguys.com, BEEGUYZ. .com. It's spelled wrong. And that's where our online store is. And you can also read on there different things about becoming a beekeeper. We set up bees with people all the time. More about what we do with honeybee removals. And it's linked somewhat to our Facebook page. And on the Facebook page is also under Bee Guys with a Z LLC. That's our main social media platform. Where we have probably 9,000 followers right now, and 8,000 of that probably has come from the birth of Haunted Honey. So when Haunted Honey came up, we started shipping to, I think, 11 or 12 different countries within a week. And, you know, so people from all over the world, it went global. But the Facebook page is something where you can actually keep up with us as far as Haunted Honey goes, but also as far as bee removal and everything else honeybees go, because a lot of people are interested in honeybees. And it's something different than you don't see every day. You know, so that's the best way for people to get in touch with us. They feel free to message us at all for anything they need, you know, and we can get this product out to them. And, you know, they can get to experience it, because we've had nothing but positive feedback on it. And I'm not just saying that, you know, through the 2 years that it's been out, you know, there's been so much feedback, but it's just unreal the way it's been working for people, that's been putting it to the use that they've been wanting to use it for. You know, it's helped them, it seems.
That's awesome. And it sounds like it's got a very wide range.
It does.
and so check it out. Craig, this has been a fun chat, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, best of luck in the future and everything else. And, you know, if I'm ever down in New Orleans doing a show, maybe I'll try to reach out and see if I can't get my hands on a jar, and, you know, I get a jar and just, I'm going to start maybe just having a little dabble do you before a show, get me juiced up. I mean, cause I do, I mean, I love sweets. I definitely have a sweet tooth, but yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to check out and get me some of the Haunted Honey. I appreciate you. I appreciate
you
coming on today.
Get with me after the show.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks again. And to everybody listening, don't forget, check out Bee Guys, and that's with a Z.com. You can get your hands on some Haunted Honey. Check out the Facebook page. I've already been over there. I learned a valuable tip about having a bee sting my penis, so it'll be enlarged forever. I saw something over there about that. So
we put up some funny things too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love anybody who doesn't take life so seriously. So go check it out. And thanks for listening. Hope to see you at a live show. And if I don't, I'll see you at the watering hole on the astral plane.